January 6th. Our reading in the Old Testament today will be from the book of Genesis, chapter 13, verse 5. We'll go through chapter 15, verse 21. Here's an overview of what we'll be reading. We'll read about a new beginning. God chastened Abram in Egypt, and Abram returned to the land he never should have left. He was a very wealthy man, but his tent and altar were the most valuable things he possessed. We'll read about a new burden. While in Egypt, Lot acquired wealth and a taste for the world, and his temporal interests were partly Abram's fault. God forgave Abram's sin, but he did not prevent the sad consequences. Abram was a peacemaker because he lived by faith. Lot was a troublemaker because he lived by sight. Abram chose a heavenly city. Lot chose an earthly city, and a wicked one at that. The city appeared to be ideal, but it was headed for destruction. And then we'll read about a new blessing. The man of faith always receives a special word from God after a time of testing. Let others take what they want. Our God gives us far more than they can ever imagine. Abram lifted up his eyes and saw the land. He lifted up his feet and claimed it by faith. Then he lifted up his heart and worshiped God. Lot had broken Abram's heart, but God blessed Abram's heart and made him a blessing. And then as we move on into chapter 14 of Genesis, we'll read about the three victories Abram wins. There is a victory over Lot. You see, it would have been easy for Abram to let Lot suffer the sad consequences of his own foolish decision. But a man of faith is called to be a blessing, so Abram went to the rescue. Lot was not a very dedicated believer, but he was still a brother and he needed some help. Lot went right back into Sodom, but Abram did what he did for the Lord. And see, that's what really counts. The second victory was a victory over the kings. Abram, the pilgrim, would never have gotten involved in the war except to rescue Lot. Abram did not have a large army, but he battled by faith. That is what gave him the victory. And then the final victory of the three was a victory over himself. The king of Sodom came with a bargain, but the king of Salem came with a blessing. Even a shoelace from Sodom would have defiled Abram's godly walk. After every battle, give God the glory and beware the devil's bargains. If you aren't careful, you may win the war, but lose the victory. And with that, let's begin today's reading in the Old Testament. January 6th, Genesis chapter 13, verse 5, through chapter 15, verse 21. Now Lot, who was traveling with Abram, was also very wealthy with sheep, cattle, and many tents. But the land could not support both Abram and Lot, with all their flocks and herds, living so close together. There were too many animals for the available pasture land. So an argument broke out between the herdsmen of Abram and Lot. At that time, Canaanites and Perizzites were also living in the land. Then Abram talked it over with Lot. "This arguing between our herdsmen has got to stop," he said. "After all, we are close relatives. I'll tell you what we'll do. Take your choice of any section of land you want, and we will separate. If you want that land over there, then I'll stay here. If you want to stay in this place, then I'll move on to another place." Lot took a long look at the fertile plains of the Jordan Valley in the direction of Zoar. The whole area was well watered everywhere, like the garden of the Lord or the beautiful land of Egypt. This was before the Lord had destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Lot chose that land for himself, the Jordan Valley to the east of them. He went there with his flocks and servants and parted company with his uncle Abram. So while Abram stayed in the land of Canaan, Lot moved his tents to a place near Sodom, among the cities of the plain. The people of this area were unusually wicked and sinned greatly against the Lord. After Lot was gone, the Lord said to Abram, "Look as far as you can see in every direction. I am going to give all this land to you and your offspring, as a permanent possession. And I'm going to give you so many descendants that, like dust, they cannot be counted. Take a walk in every direction and explore the new possessions I am giving you. Then Abram moved his camp to the oak grove owned by Mamre, which is at Hebron. There he built an altar to the Lord. About this time, war broke out in the region. King Amraphel of Babylonia, King Arioch of Elisar, King Chedorlaomer of Elam, and King Tidal of Goim fought against King Bera of Sodom, King Bersha of Gomorrah, King Shinab of Admah, King Shemeber of Zoboim, and the king of Bela, now called Zoar. The kings of Sodom, Gomorrah, Admah, Zeboim, and Bela formed an alliance and mobilized their armies in Sidom Valley, that is, the valley of the Dead Sea. For 12 years, they had all been subject to King Chedorlaomer, but now in the 13th year they rebelled. 1 year later, Chedorlaomer and his allies arrived. They conquered the Rephaites in Ashtaroth-Karnaim, the Zuzites in Ham, the Emites in the plain of Kiriathaim, and the Horites in Mount Seir, as far as El Paran at the edge of the wilderness. Then they swung around to En-Mishpat, now called Kadesh, and destroyed the Amalekites, and also the Amorites living in Hazazon Tamar. But now the army of the kings of Sodom, Gomorrah, Admah, Zeboim, and Bela, now called Zoar, prepared for battle in the valley of the Dead Sea, against King Chedorlaomer of Elam and the kings of Goim, Babylonia, and Elisar, 4 kings against 5. As it happened, the valley was filled with tar pits, and as the army of the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah fled, some slipped into the tar pits, while the rest escaped into the mountains. The victorious invaders then plundered Sodom and Gomorrah and began their long journey home, taking all the wealth and food with them. They also captured Lot, Abram's nephew, who lived in Sodom, and took everything he owned. One of the men who escaped came and told Abram the Hebrew, who was camped at the oak grove belonging to Mamre the Amorite. Mamre and his relatives, Eshcol and Anar, were Abram's allies. When Abram learned that Lot had been captured, he called together the men born into his household, 318 of them in all. He chased after Chedorlaomer's army until he caught up with him in Dan. There he divided his men and attacked during the night from several directions. Chedorlaomer's army fled, but Abram chased them to Hobah, north of Damascus. Abram and all his allies recovered everything, the goods that had been taken, Abram's nephew Lot with his possessions, and all the women and other captives. As Abram returned from his victory over Chedorlaomer and his allies, the king of Sodom came out to meet him in the valley of Shavah, that is, the king's valley. Then Melchizedek, the king of Salem and a priest of God Most High, brought him bread and wine. Melchizedek blessed Abram with this blessing: "Blessed be Abram by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth. And blessed be God Most High, who has helped you conquer your enemies." Then Abram gave Melchizedek a tenth of all the goods he had recovered. The king of Sodom told him, "Give back my people who were captured, but you may keep for yourself all the goods you have recovered." Abram replied, "I have solemnly promised the Lord God Most High, creator of heaven and earth, that I will not take so much as a single thread or sandal thong from you. Otherwise, you might say, 'I am the one who made Abram rich.' And all I'll accept is what these young men of mine have already eaten. But give a share of the goods to my allies, Aner, Eshcol, and Mamre." Afterward, the Lord spoke to Abram in a vision and said to him, "Do not be afraid, Abram, for I will protect you, and your reward will be great." But Abram replied, "O sovereign Lord, what good are all your blessings when I don't even have a son? Since I don't have a son, Eliezer of Damascus, a servant in my household, will inherit all my wealth. You have given me no children, so one of my servants will have to be my heir." Then the Lord said to him, "No, your servant will not be your heir, for you will have a son of your own to inherit everything I am giving you." Then the Lord brought Abram outside beneath the night sky and told him, "Look up into the heavens and count the stars if you can. Your descendants will be like that, too many to count." And Abram believed the Lord, and the Lord declared him righteous because of his faith. Then the Lord told him, "I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land." But Abram replied, "O sovereign Lord, how can I be sure that you will give it to me?" Then the Lord told him, "Bring me a 3-year-old heifer, a 3-year-old female goat, a 3-year-old ram, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon." Abram took all these and killed them. He cut each one down the middle and laid the halves side by side. He did not, however, divide the birds in half. Some vultures came down to eat the carcasses, but Abram chased them away. That evening, as the sun was going down, Abram fell into a deep sleep. He saw a terrifying vision of darkness and horror. Then the Lord told Abram, "You can be sure that your descendants will be strangers in a foreign land, and they will be oppressed as slaves for 400 years. But I will punish the nation that enslaves them, and in the end they will come away with great wealth. But you will die in peace at a ripe old age. After 4 generations, your descendants will return here to this land, when the sin of the Amorites has run its course." As the sun went down and it became dark, Abram saw a smoking firepot and a flaming torch pass between the halves of the carcasses. So the Lord made a covenant with Abram that day and said, "I have given this land to your descendants, all the way from the border of Egypt to the great Euphrates River, the land of the Kenites, Kenizzites, Kadmonites, Hittites, Perizzites, Rephaites, Amorites, Canaanites, Girgashites, and Jebusites." January 6th. And now, as we turn our attention to the reading of the New Testament, our narrative today will come from the book of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 27 through 48. We'll read about surgeons. Obviously, Jesus is not suggesting literal surgery in this passage of Scripture, but the real problem is in the heart. This is a vivid reminder that sin is terrible and reaps terrible consequences, and we're better off maimed than whole and going to hell. Deal drastically with sin. Don't let it have a foothold in your life. It comes to destroy. We'll read about children of the Father. What do you do more than others? We must measure ourselves, not by others, but by the Father. This includes our words, our responses to injuries, and our dealings with our enemies. It was Francis Bacon who wrote, "In taking revenge, a man is but even with his enemy, but in passing it over, he is superior." You know, we lay up treasures in heaven when we consider that all we have belongs to God, and we use it to magnify his righteousness and advance his kingdom. It means much more than merely giving offerings to God, although that is important. It means total stewardship of life, so that God is in complete control and our one desire is to glorify him. This is the secret of a unified life, free of worry. Well, with that, let's begin our reading today here in the New Testament. January 6th, Matthew chapter 5, verses 27 through 48. "You have heard that the law of Moses says, 'Do not commit adultery.' But I say, anyone who even looks at a woman with lust in his eye has already committed adultery with her in his heart. So if your eye, even if it is your good eye, causes you to lust, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your hand, even if it is your stronger hand, causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. it is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. You have heard that the law of Moses says, a man can divorce his wife by merely giving her a letter of divorce. But I say that a man who divorces his wife, unless she has been unfaithful, causes her to commit adultery, and anyone who marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard that the law of Moses says, do not break your vows. You must carry out the vows you have made to the Lord. But I say, don't make any vows. If you say, by heaven, it is a sacred vow because heaven is God's throne. And if you say, by the earth, it is a sacred vow because the earth is his footstool. And don't swear, by Jerusalem, for Jerusalem is the city of the great king. Don't even swear, by my head, for you can't turn one hair white or black. Just a simple, yes I will, or no I won't. Your word is enough. To strengthen your promise with a vow shows that something is wrong. You have heard that the law of Moses says, if an eye is injured, injure the eye of the person who did it. If a tooth gets knocked out, knock out the tooth of the person who did it. But I say, don't resist an evil person. If you are slapped on the right cheek, turn the other too. If you are ordered to court and your shirt is taken from you, give your coat too. If a soldier demands that you carry his gear for a mile, carry it 2 miles. Give to those who ask, and don't turn away from those who want to borrow. You have heard that the law of Moses says, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. In that way, you will be acting as true children of your Father in heaven. For he gives his sunlight to both the evil and the good, and he sends rain on the just and on the unjust too. If you love only those who love you, what good is that? Even corrupt tax collectors do that much. If you are kind only to your friends, how are you different from anyone else? Even pagans do that. But you are to be perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. Psalm 6, verses 1 through 10. This psalm grew out of an experience of sickness and pain, when David thought he was going to die. Besides that, he had to put up with the attacks of his enemies, who wanted him to die. It was a time of deep discouragement for David, but he did not waver in his faith. He prayed. As he prayed, he asked for mercy for his body and his soul. Mercy means that God does not give us what we deserve, and grace means that he gives us what we do not deserve. What a loving God he is. David reminded God of his tears of repentance and confession. His bed should have been a place of rest, but it had become a place of trial as God chastened him. But there is a happy ending. David was assured and his enemies were ashamed. God heard and answered his prayers. When the night is dark and long, keep on trusting and the dawn will come in God's good time. Psalm chapter 6, verses 1 through 10. For the choir director, a psalm of David, to be accompanied by an 8-stringed instrument. O Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger, or discipline me in your rage. Have compassion on me, Lord, for I am weak. Heal me, Lord, for my body is in agony. I am sick at heart. How long, O Lord, until you restore me? Return, O Lord, and rescue me. Save me because of your unfailing love. For in death, who remembers you? Who can praise you from the grave? I am worn out from sobbing. Every night, tears drench my bed. My pillow is wet from weeping. My vision is blurred by grief. My eyes are worn out because of all my enemies. Go away, all you who do evil, for the Lord has heard my crying. The Lord has heard my plea. The Lord will answer my prayer. May all my enemies be disgraced and terrified. May they suddenly turn back in shame. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 29 through 33. For they hated knowledge and chose not to fear the Lord. They rejected my, that is, wisdom's advice, and paid no attention when I corrected them. That is why they must eat the bitter fruit of living their own way. They must experience the full terror of the path they have chosen. For they are simpletons who turn away from me to death. They are fools, and their own complacency will destroy them. But all who listen to me will live in peace and safety, unafraid of harm.